Fourth and final hour of our radio program on this glorious Wednesday. This is Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. Make sure you give me a follow on Twitter and Instagram. Do that right now, at Zach Gelb, Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. We give you a lot of content on there as well in case you miss any of it or want to re-listen to things. And as always, we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there for home loan solutions that fit your life well. Rocket can. We got a very quick baseball game right now, and there is no score. So this game started at 7:30 because it was caught up in a weather delay. We are now in the top of the sixth with already two outs for a game that started at 7:30. So we're basically 90 minutes in, and this game is already in the top of the sixth with two outs, so you're very close to going to the bottom of the sixth, and it's Phillies and Braves scoreless at zero. Phillies to get the victory yesterday. They are up 1-0 in the series. Aaron Nola set to go for Philadelphia in game number three back in Citizens Bank Park. So this would be huge if Philadelphia could take a commanding 2-0 series lead and not even play a home game yet. If they do so and get this victory tonight, even though with how great of a team Atlanta is, you would anticipate that the Phillies would be able to find a way to just win one game at home. Now, I know if they drop both at home, it goes back to Atlanta, and then all odds are off in a game seven. But I would think with potentially two chances to wrap this up in Philadelphia in either game three or game four, if you win today, that the Phillies would find a way to take advantage of one of those. Now, we do have game number two underway between the Padres and the Dodgers. That is tied up at one apiece. Yeah, the Dodgers get off to the good start last night and then hold on as the Padres were making a comeback. In this game, you did have a Freddie Freeman home run, and that did tie up the game as earlier in the first inning. In the top of the first, you had Manny Machado go yard. So Machado home run, Freeman home run. Yes, you do have Yu Darvish up against Clayton Kershaw 1-1 as the Dodgers are up 1-0 in that series. Tomorrow, you get the Yankees and the Guardians. You also do get the Mariners and the Astros. I think the Mariners are donezo after blowing that lead yesterday, up 7-3. And then you had the Yordan Alvarez game-winning home run. And for the Yankees, I think their bats are just too good, and they could hit home runs at such a rapid pace. And you know the Guardians, they're more of a contact team, small ball team. So I just don't think the approach for the Guardians is going to be able to keep up in the RBI department with the New York Yankees. Anyway, we have a ton of teams that are 2-3 in this NFL season so far, 11 to be exact. Can I get a little NFL music? And we'll see where my belief level is with those teams.
The New England Patriots.
I'm so confused. I really am. Because you know me, I've not been high on this Patriots offense. And every time I've talked about the offense, it's been because of the approach of the offense. Because I said this offensive line will be better than what people think. Owenu's a good offensive lineman. Been one of the better offensive linemen in the league. Strange, even though that was a strange draft pick, because a lot of people didn't know who he was. When Belichick makes a pick like that with an offensive lineman, it usually works. I just hate that Matt Patricia's calling the plays. Now, you haven't had Mac Jones for the last 2 weeks. Bailey Zappe was able to keep him in it against the Packers, and they blanked the Lions 29-0. But you look at this Patriots team, the defense has been better than what I thought it was. I knew they'd have a strong run game, even though it looks like Damian Harris could be out for a few weeks, but Ramondre Stevenson's very good. And then their offensive line is solid. So can this team be an 8 or 9 win team? Yeah. But I don't think they're making the playoffs this year. But a game this weekend. I don't know about you, Ryan. First reaction in Cleveland, Patriots and the Browns. Who do you think's winning that game?
Should be the Browns.
I thought that too before the week. But then I thought about the game a little bit more. The Browns are only a 3-point favorite at home. Jacoby Brissett is not that great of a quarterback, and Belichick has all the intel on him. Yeah, Chubb and Hunt are phenomenal. Chubb's having a monster year. But defensively, that Browns team has been disappointing this year. I do think it's a field goal game. And it would not surprise me with the Patriots having a better, more experienced kicker if Nick Folk makes more kicks than Cade York. Because the Browns have been inconsistent. And the last 2 weeks, the Patriots have showed me something that I didn't think they were capable of. And they also played the Ravens tight, too. So that's back-to-back-to-back weeks where they had good performances. It leaves me very confused. And I also look at the schedule ahead. If they're able to win this one and get to 3-3, they play the Bears. You have two with the Jets, so the Jets are better than what people have seen the Jets the last few years. And you get Indianapolis sandwiched in between. I don't think it's crazy to say that the Patriots go 4-1 in these next few games. Browns, Bears, Jets, Colts, Jets. That wouldn't surprise me they went 4-1. Probably would be more so like 3-2, though. I'm going to say that their record will be like 8 or 9 wins this year. So that's not going to be enough to make the playoffs. So long answer short, I'm believing a little bit more than where I was a few weeks ago, but I'm still more in the non-believer camp, I guess, with the Patriots.
The Cleveland Browns.
You want to talk about a frustrating team? That's Cleveland. All they had to do was weather the storm without Jacoby Brissett. And Brissett hasn't been horrible. They just beat the Panthers in week one. They blew that game to the Jets where they're up 13 points in the final 90 seconds. They beat the Steelers. Everyone beats the Steelers. And the last 2 weeks, you lose a game to the Falcons that you should have won going in. And then the Chargers, on paper, the Chargers are better. But then you miss a kick at the end in a game where you're down by two that you would have won. I'm out on the Browns. I'm a non-believer. Their schedule picks up in intensity now. Patriots, Ravens, Bengals, Dolphins, Bills, Bucks. And then you get the return of Deshaun Watson against the Texans. I think these last two are going to cost them because this road ahead the next few weeks is very tough. So I'm out on the Browns.
The Cincinnati Bengals.
They're better than what their record states they are. I'm a big believer in Joe Burrow. I think the criticism of Zach Taylor is a bit unfair for a guy that just got to the Super Bowl last year. They're a good defensive team. You just got to fix that offensive line. And they brought in the guys this year. Kappa, Collins, Karras. You got to see that offensive line improve quicker. And it needs to improve this week up against the New Orleans team that's banged up. They've been banged up the whole year. What are they starting? Andy Dalton, Taysom Hill needed to have 4 touchdowns last week to win. There is no reason why the Bengals should lose this week. I take a look at their losses. The Steelers one was a terrible start, and they should have won the game in overtime, and they did not. Dallas is better than what people thought. You lose to Baltimore. Tucker beat you. There's nothing you could do about that. And I thought one thing I'll get on Taylor for in that third quarter, I did not like that decision to go for it on 4th and goal. Take the points in a game like that. I think the Bengals are about to go on a run because you look at their next 4 games, they could pull off 4 in a row. New Orleans, Atlanta, Cleveland, Carolina. I think they're going to get back on track.
The Jacksonville Jaguars.
Now, I did tell you a game that I was bizarrely excited for this weekend was Jacksonville against Houston because I thought that game was going to be low scoring, ugly, and there was a chance the Texans could win. Jaguars, horrible performance. It's their really first horrible performance of the season. They could still win that AFC South. I don't think they will, but they could still win it. I like Doug Peterson. I think Trevor Lawrence is moving in the right direction. I just don't think that team's ready yet, so that's why I go non-believer.
The Denver Broncos.
Next.
The Chicago Bears.
All right, can we go back to the Broncos real quickly?
The Denver Broncos.
Hickey, can you answer this one, please? Mr. The Broncos are going to the Super Bowl? Mr. Russell Wilson's going to be the league MVP, and then the best of them all. Once again, this is not my take. These are the takes of Hot Take Hickey. The takes of Hot Take Hickey do not reflect the takes of the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Nathaniel Hackett was going to be the top 3 coach of the year. You believe in the Broncos who are 2-3?
Here's why I'm a believer.
Oh, stop!
Russell Wilson is not as bad as he's played. And you fire Nathaniel Hackett. These next 3 games don't go as if they don't change.
And
fire
then, him. Well, then you're in a pit of misery if you have to fire the coach in the next 3 games. Then you're going to dig yourself in a deeper hole record-wise.
Why? It can't get any worse. I'm sorry. I don't care who you put as the head coach. It will not let Russell Wilson run the offense for 8 games. And see
what I'm saying, if you're firing the coach in 3 weeks from now, You're firing the coach because what, they lost to the Jets and the Jaguars and the Chargers.
Well, it's not even the wins and losses. It's how they play, how they look to sort. Like, if they beat the Colts, it doesn't. That didn't. That wouldn't have saved Nathaniel Hackett's job because that game was ugly no matter if you win or lose. If you beat the Jets, it's another ugly game. You beat the Jaguars like 12-9. He's out. See you later.
But if they win two out of these next three games and the coach is 4-4.
And the offense looks like one of the worst in the NFL.
They're not going to. I'm not saying he'll be back next year, but I don't think they're going to fire him if he wins two out of the next three games.
Pull the plug.
Before the bye.
Let Russ run the offense and for eight games, see what happens.
Can you just admit, though, that maybe Russell Wilson isn't all what you thought he was? The last year and a half, the guy has not been great. All we've had was Pete Carroll excuses. He's gotten everything that he's wanted. I'm not saying the guy's trash and he's horrible, but maybe he's not that great and he's just very good because this guy has done nothing so far, nothing in Denver.
That's fine, but I don't think he's as bad as he's looked so far through five games. I think he's a whole hell of a lot better.
But when do you point the finger to your guy, Russell Wilson?
Because you can't fire Russ.
Exactly.
So you got to change something.
But you can still be critical of him.
I think I've
been fairly. You don't actually believe in this team. You don't.
I still think Russell Wilson, again, will turn it around. I don't think he is going to continue to play as bad as he has.
So you still believe the Broncos are making the playoffs?
Yes. I think they're going to turn it around. Yes. But again, things don't go. Like, I think also part of it is.
All you're saying is, yeah, I think they're going to turn around. Yes, I'm
telling you, I don't think Russell Wilson is going to continue to play as bad as he has. Whether it's comfort in the offense or, again, whether it's me advocating to fire the head coach that I said could be in the head, you know, coach of the year candidacy,
mm-hmm.
I think something has to change for this team to turn around.
How many wins do you think it's going to take to get into the playoffs this year in the AFC? How many wins?
10 wins.
Okay. So if 10 wins is your seventh seed. Do you know their final six games of the season?
Let's hear it.
Probably at tough. Baltimore, home against Kansas City. Home against the Cardinals, at the Rams, at the Chiefs, and then home against the Chargers. So if they don't pick it up quickly, they are leaving themselves way behind the eight ball. Like, I'm not even saying any wiggle room, but they are way behind the eight ball. And then you expect a team that has been garbage this year to pick it up against those teams to make the playoffs? A team that only has two wins through the first 5 weeks of the season? No shot. They're cooked. They're done. Russ is cooking. He burnt the food. They're cooked. It's not happening this year. They will not make the playoffs this year. That's all I'll say on that one.
The Chicago Bears.
Non-believer. They're not good. I know they have two wins. They could beat the Commanders tomorrow night, and that would be great. Oh, that would be awesome. Carson Wentz in prime time going down to Justin Fields. That team just doesn't have the talent. And then the first year of a rebuild.
The New Orleans Saints.
No. That Saints team, they're never healthy. They don't have a quarterback. And it seems like the only way that they're going to be competitive in a game and then win a game is if Taysom Hill just goes off. Like, they needed Taysom Hill to score four touchdowns to win that game. That's not realistic to get that production week in and week out from Taysom Hill, who's a gadget player. But he was their focal part of their offense last week. And Geno Smith still almost beat them. So, no, not believing the Saints.
The Atlanta Falcons.
Here's what I'll say. Is Atlanta making the playoffs this year? Absolutely not. Is Atlanta going to be picking in the top five of the draft? I don't think so. That's a scrappy team. Now, I'm not going to say that they're going to venture outside of the top 10 picks in the draft. But that team has been competitive in, like, every game this year. And Arthur Smith has those guys competing with really no quarterback. I like Drake London. That defense is better than what people thought. But you look at those games, they lost to New Orleans by one. They were down 28-3, almost beat the Rams. They beat the Seahawks. They beat the Browns. And even last week when they go down, what, three touchdowns to Tampa? If Tom Brady doesn't get that gift call, maybe they come back and win the game. So I think that team, I'll lean more believer, but it's on a scale. I'm not saying believing they'll make the playoffs. They're not the worst team in the league or one of the bottom five teams in the league like a lot of people were saying.
Los Angeles Rams.
I'm going to say this is going to be, it's all on a scale. Non-believer to win the division. I've shifted that belief to the 49ers. I still think they have enough talent to find a way to get to the postseason, but it's going to be a sweat because that offensive line is horrible. Their entire offense right now is just Cooper Kupp. You may need, and I saw that he was on the injury report this week, but you may need Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey to go win you a few games until that offense figures it out.
The Arizona Cardinals.
Here's your hope. You get back Kyler Murray after. You get back DeAndre Hopkins after this week for Kyler Murray. But that team, they just look lost. They really do. Kyler Murray, they're asking him to do everything. Cliff's telling his quarterback to spike the football, and he wasn't aware that it wasn't a first down. And you look at their wins. They beat Carolina. They were a no-show in the first half. And then up against the Raiders, they were no-show the first half, and then it all came together in the second half, and they needed overtime, and you had Hunter Renfrow fumble the football, so you probably would have lost that game. I haven't seen enough consistency from Arizona to make me think they're going to make the playoffs. I'm a non-believer.
The Seattle Seahawks.
I will classify this team similarly to the way that I scaled and graded the Falcons. Better than what people thought. Do I think they're making the playoffs? No. But they won't be a top five pick in the draft. Geno Smith's playing well. Tyler Lockett's a stud. DK Metcalf's a stud. Now that defense, Pete, you got to pick it up on that defense. You should. When you have DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett having the games that they had last week and Geno throwing the ball like they were, you can't allow Taysom Hill to beat you. And you allowed Taysom Hill not only to beat you on big plays. So that defense got to improve. I think they'll be like 6th, 7th, or 8th, like somewhere there in that range in the draft, where it's not going to be in the top five. They'll still be in the top 10, but that team isn't as bad, and they fight and compete for Pete. That was a tongue twister. More than what we thought they were going to. So those are the 2 and 3 teams and where I believe or not believe in them. We'll take a break on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. When we're coming back, no suspension for Draymond Green. You'll hear from Steve Kerr when you return in 5 minutes.
Finding a perfect suit can seem impossible, but finding a suit that's perfect for you is simple with Indochino. Choose your favorite fabric and customize every detail. Then submit your measurements online or get measured in store for a custom made-for-you fit at an incredible price. And with Indochino's fall collection featuring new colors and premium fabrics, you'll be in style all season long. Indochino makes it easy to craft a look that suits you perfectly. Suits start at just $449, and fitted shirts start at just $89. And you can fine-tune every detail, lapels, linings, monograms, and more. Create a personalized wardrobe that doesn't cost a fortune with options like shirts, casual wear, and outerwear. Want to elevate your look? Indochino lets you make any suit a tux. Design your perfect suit today with Indochino. Get $50 off any purchase of $399 or more with promo code FALLUPDATE at Indochino.com. That's Indochino.com. Promo code FALLUPDATE.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
That could be my favorite rejoin that we have in the system. It is The Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. I just love when someone has resting face, let's call it, and they know they have resting face, and they admit it as well. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. It looked like Zach Wheeler was going to get out of a jam with two outs. He had guys on first and second. And then there was a ground ball to Rhys Hoskins. It took a weird bounce, and it skimmed part of his glove and then goes into the outfield. One run scores. And then a few plays later, there was a little dribbler up the third base line, and it was just not fielded in time or cleanly, and that made it 2-0. So it's in the bottom of the sixth. This game started at 7:30. Bottom of the sixth, two outs. It is 2-0 Atlanta up on Philadelphia, and Travis d'Arnaud is up at the dish on first and second. The Braves do have base runners. Let's see what d'Arnaud does here. Wheeler's still in the game, and d'Arnaud right up the middle. And that's going to get a run in. So that's going to make it 3-0 Atlanta. And Atlanta, if their bullpen could hold on here, they will be sending this series back to Philadelphia, all tied up at 1-1. And you know, this game for Atlanta tonight, if they win this series, a brand new series, you go to Philadelphia, you think a team like that could get one game in Philly. But if Philadelphia would have won tonight and did go up 2-0, you would be stunned if this got back to Atlanta for a game five. But unless if Philadelphia is able to come back from this 3-0 deficit, it's going to be going back to Philadelphia all tied up at 1-1. Now, Kyle Wright's still in the game, so you would still think eventually you're going to have to see the Atlanta bullpen. But he's at 83 pitches right now, and he's pitched 6 innings, and he's only allowed 2 hits in the contest and 6 strikeouts. And now this has started to get a little bit ugly here for Zach Wheeler and the Philadelphia Phillies. It's not really Zach Wheeler's fault because they should have been out of the inning and it still should be a 0-0 game. It was a weird bounce on Hoskins, but Hoskins has to keep that ball in front of him. You have to find a way to bare minimum keep that ball in front of you. And he wasn't able to do that. So that's where it currently sit there. I want to play a little Draymond Green audio. This is actually from Steve Kerr, but it's about the Draymond Green situation. So Draymond's going to return tomorrow to the team, and he's not getting suspended. This is Steve Kerr announcing the punishment for Draymond Green.
He is going to come back to practice on Thursday. He's been fined. He will not be suspended. I expect him to play Friday in our last preseason game and on opening night.
Steve Kerr says Draymond Green punching Jordan Poole is the biggest incident he's ever faced with the Warriors.
This is the biggest crisis that we've ever had since I've been coach here. It's really serious stuff. We're not perfect. You know, our team isn't perfect. Bob and I have definitely made our share of mistakes over the years, but we're going to lean on the experience that we have together, you know, over the last 9 years, and trust that this is the best decision for our team. We have a lot of work to do, all of us, players, coaches, Bob in the front office, but we're committed to doing that work together.
Now, Draymond is important to that team. You know that it may not always show up on the stat sheet, but Draymond gets a lot of praise for the little things that are actually big things that he does to make that team go the way that they need to go. Now, first and foremost, that team, their most important player is Steph Curry, but you know the importance of Draymond Green. And Draymond Green is very mercurial. You never know what mood he's going to show up in. You never know if he's going to cost you a series or win you a series. But when I hear Steve Kerr speak, and when Steve Kerr says to the media that this incident with Draymond Green punching Jordan Poole is the biggest incident he's ever faced with the Warriors, and then in the next breath it's, but we're not suspending him, we're just fining him, that doesn't add up. You can't tell me that this is the biggest incident that you've ever faced with the Warriors and then not suspend the guy. It's almost as if the Golden State Warriors are afraid that if they give too severe, in their eyes, of a punishment to Draymond Green and suspend him, they're going to then lose Draymond Green because Draymond Green's going to go crazy and say, bleep the organization, they didn't treat me right. I don't get how you could sit there and say, this is the biggest incident you face with the Warriors and then not suspend the guy. There's no logic there. It doesn't make sense. 2 + 2 does not equal 4 in that scenario when you add things up. What they're telling you is not what it equals up to. It makes no sense to me, Ryan.
So this is what I'm thinking. Bill Ryder this morning made a great point, and this is that. He thinks
that... You listen to a lot of Bill Ryder today. That's the second time you've mentioned Bill.
That, and I talked to his producer today a lot about this topic. So we were kind of swapping notes.
So you weren't listening to Bill?
I did not hear it live, no.
Oh, wow.
Bill's
former,
point...
Former, you used to work with Bill Ryder, and you don't even listen to his show anymore. Shame on you.
Well, I was at the doctor's today.
Oh,
I was
so?
Getting
you
a needle in my arm.
You were getting what?
A needle in my arm.
What for?
Blood work.
Oh, the heroic hot take kicky.
I'll be honest, I am a big baby when it comes to giving blood and needles. I don't like it.
Well, that's fine. You did a good thing. Put your AirPods in. And
don't be rude.
You turn on the Odyssey app, And you listen to Bill Ryder, and it takes your mind off the needle going into your arm.
The nurse was nice. The doctor's very nice. I don't want to be rude to them and shut them out.
You're a big star. You're hot take Hickey. You walk in that office, they're like, oh, this is Big Shot on the radio.
No. Yes. They don't know even the last name Hickey.
Yes.
They thought it was a new patient there. So that shows you, you know.
Stop.
That shows you how important I am to them.
Stop. Hickey walked into that doctor's office today. I had sources inside the doctor's office tell me. He was wearing sunglasses indoors and said, don't even talk to me. Have my secretary fill out the paperwork and then call me right away. I do not wait.
Put a hat down, put it low so no one knew. Yeah. I slunk in my chair, used a fake name.
Hood up, you were a jackass.
Joe Smith, that's me. All right, coming on in. Here's my physical.
Anyway, what did you claim to hear on the Bill Ryder show that you didn't hear that D-Cell just told you?
So Bill's point is this. The Warriors are not suspending Draymond Green because basically they are right now like a couple where the marriage is in shambles and they want to see if they can work it out. So the only way you truly know is if Draymond Green can fit back in this team and earn his trust is by having him around the team and seeing how the team reacts. Now, with that said, I think that there's a possibility if this goes south, there's no suspension, obviously. If he doesn't fit well on the team and they don't earn he doesn't earn their trust back, I wonder if there's a situation where he would be cut.
I don't know if he would be cut.
In season.
I would think maybe traded is more likely. Now, his contract is expiring.
The tricky part with the trade, though, is who's trading for Draymond Green?
I'm sure there'd be a few teams that would be interested. You're telling me if Kevin Durant, I know there's issues there.
Well, I would.
But what happens if Kevin Durant's like, hey, I'm already dealing with Kyrie. Well, whatever. Let's go get Draymond Green.
Well, I'll tell you this. I will pick up Draymond Green and drive him across the country. If you are saying you're going to have KD, Ben Simmons, Kyrie, yeah. and Draymond
be great.
On the same team this year, I'm in.
Ringling Brothers Barn and Bailey Circus may have shut down, but the Nets will be open.
Actually, that's probably what the Nets need, to be honest. They need someone to kind of
get... imagine Draymond... Keep hey, Ben Simmons, straight. Stop being soft. Shoot the ball. That'd be great. And then Draymond punches Ben in the face, and then it may not be so great.
Or it could go the way, hey, thanks, Draymond. That's what he needed. That could be you talk about like, you know what the NBA would need? Like Hard Knocks version.
Lakers?
We need, and I guess.
It would be a fit for the Lakers.
Draymond would listen to LeBron.
Yeah.
Imagine Russell Westbrook and Draymond. Oh, my God. Those two fighting over shots.
Here's why you say the marriage thing. It's like a couple trying to go through therapy. And they're trying to fix it.
Like if one cheats on the other and they say, all right, we're going to try to work this out.
Okay. This was violence, though. Like, for example, if let's say you were in a relationship and someone punches the significant other, there still needs to be a punishment for that person before you could fix the relationship. Like, if that was a relationship and let's say someone punched their significant other, like, you're going to jail. Or you're getting arrested. And then afterwards, once the outcome of that happens, if the person that you punch wants to forgive you and bring you back and you go to counseling, then maybe there's a path to rectify that relationship. But by just fining a guy and Draymond Green and not suspending him, nothing happened to Draymond Green. Nothing happened to him. So what makes us... have him maybe think twice before doing it again. Now, if he does it again, he's going to be off the team. I'm not a dummy. I get that. But what does he learn from this? Why is he going to operate any differently if you don't actually try to force a little, I don't want to know if fear is the right word because it is an adult, but have any sort of punitive action here? That's what doesn't make sense.
So I wonder if they would cut him. So see you later. And... He's not getting another big contract, that's for sure. He's not coming from the Warriors.
No. And
he's
quite
not
frankly,
coming from another team.
Right now, Jordan Poole's more important to the Warriors than Draymond Green. Long term.
Long term, yes. Absolutely.
I think it's weak. I think it's gutless. And I think it's the Warriors in a player-driven league afraid to do the obvious to a guy that's been established on that team, respected on that team, a star. But when you punch another player... And I don't want to hear, oh, it's just practice. This happens all the time. All Jordan Poole did was Draymond Green was barking at him. And he went over to Jordan Poole. And Jordan Poole, deservedly so, like kind of pushed him away. It was nothing malicious. And then Draymond Green clocks him. You got to be suspended. I'm not saying like you have to drop the hammer and suspend the guy for 30 games. But you got to at least give him some suspension. And if I'm Jordan Poole, how awkward is that for him? Jordan Poole, he's never going to like Draymond Green again. He may be able to tolerate him, but he's never going to like him again. And that's such an awkward kind of relationship. And ultimately, what's going to save him is probably Steph and Clay are going to bat, I would imagine, for Draymond Green. Because there's certain voices that actually matter in that organization. And two of them are Steph and Clay. Now, I haven't heard Steph and Clay speak about this, but I would just assume if Steph and Clay, I'd have to imagine, right? Don't you think Steve Kerr had to have talked to Steph and Clay about this?
So he basically talked to almost everyone on the team. Jordan Poole, Steph Curry, Clay Thompson, everyone important.
But in terms of the voices mattering, like for Jordan Poole, it's not fair to him to be like, hey, do you think the guy should be suspended? But if Steph and Clay were like, yeah, let's not suspend him, that's kind of a lack of leadership by Steph Curry and Clay Thompson. Let's listen up to Steve Kerr say the players have been involved in deciding on a punishment for Draymond.
Jordan obviously had to be involved in this, and the players have been doing a lot of work behind the scenes. Steph has been working like crazy to try to figure out the best way to move forward. So he's been organizing some of these conversations. Jordan and Draymond got together and had a great discussion that I think will help us move forward. And so after this entire week of everything and just assessing everything, this feels right.
So they're basically saying Draymond and Jordan Poole talked it out. And I just wonder if it was actually as productive a conversation as they're saying, or was Jordan Poole just like, yeah, like, I don't want to deal with you, whatever you say, sure, yeah, except your apology went down deep. You were fuming. Marco, you are the guy that we usually go to for situations like this. You are the man of logic, reason. You're the voice of reason, not only on this show, but of all of CBS Sports Radio. You're trusted. You're El Capitan. Is it weak that the Golden State Warriors aren't suspending Draymond Green?
100%.
Right?
Look, I understand them not wanting to go a long road where it's like, look, we got to try to figure this out. And I do believe that if this video never got out, we would have never known. He would have been fined and nobody would have cared. I do believe that. But it did get out.
It's the power video.
We did see it. So it's like you can't put the genie back in the bottle. So now you know that not only with inside your own locker room, you also have the public perception on the outside of this. You have to be smart enough. You have to realize it. You do have to suspend him, even if just for the outside look, if you will, just to make sure that you, I don't know, gain some respect from outside of the organization. Because I think inside it, I don't think it matters as much. I think it's more outside. I do. I think it's perception. Because I think inside, again, if this video doesn't come out, and we don't know the extent, we know they got into a little bit of an altercation. Draymond was fined. He was gone for a couple days. Now he's back. Would you care? No.
If the video didn't get out, no, because no. Then I would have thought the punch wasn't as violent
right.
As what we skirmish. Actually saw in the video.
Little skirmish.
Right?
We don't know.
Little dust up.
Right. Once we see it, it changes everything.
And it was a hard punch.
So they can't just, and to me, it was also kind of cheap, but it's just the idea that like you can't now say, well, it was just, no. Now we all saw it. Mm-hmm. Now we all know. We know that Jordan Poole is now embarrassed. And we know Draymond Green has been shown to be a guy that sucker punched his own teammate. So these are problems that you have on the outside. You've got to get a little bit more perception on your squad. You got to give some sort of punishment. And I do think I'm with Hickey. I think they're on the phone now. I think they're trying to get rid of Draymond Green today. I think the Warriors are done with Draymond Green. He's got no future. And I think they look deep down. How many times do we see him barely play in the finals? They know they can move on without him now. And I think right now, I think they're trying to figure out a way to get out from under.
You also bring up a good point going off of Hickey now. If you suspend him,
harder
all
to move
trade
him.
Value goes away.
Right, harder to move him.
At least you could give the option of, oh, yeah, we'll take some phone calls and right. We'll just delay this.
Now, granted, he's back on Friday. So
back
it's not,
tomorrow, yeah.
Yeah, there's not a lot of time here. But I do think that they're right now on the phone looking to see what they can get. And I'm sure the first phone call they're making is to L.A. and the Lakers and LeBron. And what are you going to do? What are we going to? I don't think they're going to expect a lot. They know he's valuable. They know he's still, he's not as good as he was. But he's still a guy that can help you win. But I don't think this Warrior team needs him anymore.
Just real quickly, 30 seconds or less. Do you think, and I think it's a mixture of both, but what is the most, which one is it more of? That video getting leaked. Is it more so someone in that organization getting a big time deal, like a lot of money from TMZ? Or is it someone in that organization saying, this just isn't right what happened, and I'm going to expose Draymond and show the video because it's getting swept under the rug.
You know, I talked to a few people. It doesn't sound like that video necessarily pays as much as we all seem to think it pays. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but I've gotten
someone wanted the truth out on Draymond.
Yeah, I that's what it sounds
because
like.
Because they swept this under the rug.
We all thought that it was like, oh, man, this is a giant paycheck. I've talked to a bunch of people like kind of behind the scenes. They're like, you know, you don't get paid as much as you think you get paid. And I was like, wow, I'm a little surprised by that. So if that's the case, then it's definitely somebody that's had enough of Draymond Green.
Closing bell next.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show. Another day is in the books, and we're taking stock of the sports world. It's time to find out who's up and who's down. Let's end the day right and hit the closing bell. Only on the Zach Gelb Show.
Sonny Dykes, the head football coach at TCU in his fourth stint as a head coach, joined us earlier today. That team's 5-0. It's always tough when a new coach comes in to get off to a start like that. But the last few weeks, to go up against your old school SMU and beat them, then you blow out Oklahoma, and last week you win that back-and-forth game against Kansas to be 5-0, and now you host number 8 undefeated Oklahoma State this weekend. Program for now is in a good spot. We give TCU a stock up. D'Amico Ryans, I think he's going to be a head coach next year. He was a finalist for that Vikings job. Did not get it. He actually said he was happy he didn't get it because he didn't feel he was ready. And I think after having another year in San Francisco, and he's a young guy, we know had a lot of respect in the league when he was a player. You can tell he's going to be a leader of men. He was as a player, is as a coach. And you see that energy on the sideline? I love what D'Amico Ryans is doing with that 49ers team. And the story of the 49ers is that defense. We all talk Jimmy G, Trey Lance. The defense has been dominant. D'Amico Ryans has set it up to be one of the top candidates of the market this year. Clearly, Sean Payton's going to get a lot of looks. As you know that, he'll be the top candidate. We got to give a stock up to D'Amico Ryans. All right, let's listen up to Brad Lidge. I did have Brad Lidge on earlier in the program, and I asked about Aroldis Chapman, who was in Florida when you had that layover between the wild card to the ALDS. Got a sense he wasn't going to make the roster with his inconsistencies. Been hurt all year, has not been pitching well, and he didn't show up for a mandatory workout. Yankees said, thanks, but no thanks. We don't want you on the roster. Here is what one Brad Lidge, former big league pitcher, had to say.
I don't think you do. I really don't. I mean, we'll put it this way. If the bullpen throws terribly and they barely survive, then you consider it, of course. But if the bullpen throws the ball well, I think you just say thanks, but no thanks. I mean, honestly, his command and control issues in the high leverage situations for the Yanks this year and even prior to this year have always been a little bit troubling. You'd rather have him wanting to be out there. But if anybody is going to say, you know, they don't really care if they're, you know, if they can't guarantee they have a spot, they don't want to be there. You know, this Craig Kimbrell didn't get a spot either, and I guarantee you he's not doing the same thing Aroldis Chapman is out there in L.A. with the Dodgers. I was just so extremely disappointed with Aroldis Chapman, who, if he ever had a Hall of Fame case, has sealed the coffin on that. That will not happen now. And quite frankly, I don't see how any other team would want him on their squad either at this point going forward. So I think the Yankees did absolutely the right thing by leaving him off the roster, and it is just really, really disappointing.
Even if you got the sense that you were going to be on the roster, how you don't show up when you're a part of a team, and it's not a shock because Aroldis Chapman is a bad guy, and that's been well documented. But how you don't show up for the workout is just so gutless, and it's a lack of respect for your teammates. Good job on the Yankees by not begging him to come back. Good job on the Yankees for saying, sit home if you don't want to be here. And if the Yankees bring him back at any point in the postseason, assuming they take care of the Guardians, that would be a bad move. Stock down, Aroldis Chapman. And I'm giving a stock down to the Warriors for not suspending Draymond Green. You can't tell me, Steve Kerr, that is the worst thing you've had to deal with since becoming, and the biggest thing that you had to deal with since becoming the head coach of the Warriors, is to not suspend the guy. Stock down to the Warriors. Big thanks to Sonny Dykes for joining us, Ricky Ricardo as well, and Brad Lidge. We'll be back tomorrow on a Thursday edition of the Zach Gelb Show at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. Big thanks to each and every one of you for listening and tweeting. Give me a follow on Twitter at Zach Gelb, Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. And a big thanks to my producer extraordinaire, as always, Hot Take Hickey. Back manana, everybody. Bye-bye. Peace.